Good morning and welcome to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori on this Saturday morning, January 5th, 2019. Happy New Year to you. Hope you had a wonderful start to the new year and are on track to have your best year ever. Well, I had the opportunity to visit one of my favorite spots in Florida this past week, PGA National Resort and Spa in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. That's north of West Palm Beach and just south of Jupiter. And, you know, the resort has something for everyone. Five beautiful golf courses, very challenging, I may add. The Champion Course, you've heard of the Champion Course, home of the PGA Tour's Honda Classic, which takes place every year in March. They have a beautiful spa, a very large fitness facility that includes tennis courts, a lap pool, weight room, all kinds of state-of-the-art equipment and instruction. I mentioned the tennis courts, the pickleball courts, fitness classes. Everything is right there, which is what I love about it. You can play golf right there. The spa's right there. The tennis courts and the fitness center are across the street from the resort. You don't have to go far to do anything and everything you want to do. And to make it even more enticing, they allow pets. So this past week, we jumped in the car with our golden retriever, Sky. Many of you have heard about Skyman. And we all were able to celebrate New Year's Eve and the start of the new year at PGA National Resort and Spa. So this morning you'll hear more about this beautiful place from their director of golf, Jane Broderick, and from their VP of marketing, Kathy Casper. And then in the second half of the show, you'll hear a sports interview, classic interview, that I did with none other than the legendary Ted Williams. Ted Williams! The greatest hitter who ever lived. The last player in Major League Baseball to hit over 400. The great Ted Williams. I just look back on that interview with such fondness, such great memories. The fact that I even had the opportunity to sit down with the great Ted Williams. And in the second half of this show, you will hear that interview. All right, let's take a look at some of the top sports stories going on right now. Well, of course, in golf, the PGA Tour is officially back in action as the first tournament of the year, the Century Tournament of Champions, is taking place at Kapalua in Maui. And after the first round on Thursday, Kevin Tway led the 33-man field. Gary Woodland was right in there. Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, Mark Leishman, Jason Day, Rory McIlroy. Tiger is not playing, nor is Phil Mickelson. But Dustin Johnson is the defending champion, and it should be a great weekend of golf there. Bryson DeChambeau, he leaves the pin in the hole while he putts, which I personally think is a great idea, which I explained several weeks ago is now allowed under the new USGA rules of golf that go into effect this year. And after round one, DeChambeau needed just 25 putts and leads the field in strokes gained in putting. So, you know, I just think it's an advantage. A lot of people disagree with me, but whether you're putting uphill or downhill, particularly downhill, I definitely, when I'm playing, would leave the pin in the hole, which you are now allowed to do, which is so amazing. It's just so unique. I know Justin Thomas was saying it just seems so weird to him, and it's just not the traditional way, the way we're used to playing, so he can't even conceive doing it. But there are some players who will, and I know the mad scientist himself, Bryson DeChambeau, is definitely going to leave the pin in the cup while he putts on the green. In a column by Jaime Diaz on golfchannel.com, we learned that the CEO of the USGA, Mike Davis, will no longer be setting up golf courses for U.S. Opens. Now, the next U.S. Open, the men's U.S. Open, is in June at Pebble Beach. Last year, of course, it was right in our own backyard at Shinnecock. And Mike claims he has voluntarily stepped away from this longtime role of setting up these golf courses. And he told Jaime Diaz that he is very happy about that and that his decision was not driven at all by what happened last June at Shinnecock Hills. So The person who will be setting up the course is John Bodenhammer. We have seen John at many of these events. He has always been involved in setting up these courses as well. He was hired by Mike Davis in 2011 and has run the association's amateur championships. Well, now he will officially run all 14 of the organization's national championships as well as its international and team events. John has always been involved, but Mike is just going to step away from this particular role, but he will continue to be the CEO of the United States Golf Association. In college football, Alabama will face Clemson Monday night in the national championship game. It's the third time they will meet each other in this national matchup. The winner will become the first football champ to go 15-0, completely undefeated. The game will be played at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. Clemson beat Notre Dame in the college football playoff semifinal to get there, and Alabama defeated Oklahoma in the other semifinal to advance to this final matchup. This is the fourth straight year that Alabama and Clemson will have met in the playoffs and the third time in the final. Game time is at 8 p.m. Eastern. It will be on ESPN, so it should be a great game. Alabama just never ceases to amaze me. They're just, Saban is such an incredible coach, and they just find ways to win. All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back and learn all about the golf at PGA National Resort and Spa from Jane Broderick, and then you'll hear from their director of marketing, Kathy Casper. And in the second half of the show, as I said, the legendary interview with the one and only Ted Williams. Sports Interview with Ann LaGoria is brought to you by Dune Jewelry and the new Hamptons Rope Collection. Savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or spot in timeless pieces for men and women. Visit DuneJewelry.com. And Sports Interview with Ann LaGoria is brought to you in part by Peak Vision Sunglasses, P-E-A-K, Vision Sunglasses. Zero distortion, unmatched clarity, change your game. PeakVision.com. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann LaGoria, and I am delighted to be joined by Jane Broderick, who has been at the PGA National Resort and Spa as the Director of Golf for 32 years. Jane, thanks so much for joining us on Sports Interview.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Just played the Fame Champion course yesterday, and I know 18 of the greens have been refurbished. Can you talk a little bit about what was done in 2017 and or 2018 and, some of the revisions?
Yes, this past summer we actually resized all the greens. As a golf course ages, the greens are encroached on by the fringe grasses, shrinking the size of the greens. So first and foremost, we went in and resized the greens to their original size. And then we put down all new grass, not only on the greens, but we did some green complex work as well. And when you resize the greens, although it appears that you've moved the bunkers, we really didn't move any of the bunkers. The greens went back out towards the bunkers. So there's some dramatic changes in the positioning and the eye appeal of each golf hole where the bunkers appear to have been moved, but it's actually the green sizing.
So the greens have been resized, which means that it may be a little more playable for an amateur player.
Without a doubt. As we resize the greens, we picked up almost 2 acres of green space across the 18 holes, which allows us far more hole locations throughout the course of the year. So yes, we'll have some easier hole locations and even some more difficult hole locations. But in general, with larger greens, it's a little bit easier to hit the green.
And so talk about the kind of grass that's on the greens right now and the rough, because the rough grass is different than the other courses here.
The green surfaces are a hybrid Bermuda, which is obviously very common in South Florida. You know, we need to be weather resistant, water resistant, and things like that. So the hybrids are really great. And then every year in preparation for the Honda Classic, we do overseed the roughs. We don't overseed the fairways because they've got new turf on there from a couple years ago. So we overseed the rough so we can grow a really good stand of rough. It will start tournament week at roughly 2.5 to 3 inches. And depending on the weather, we probably won't mow the rough for the remainder of the week. So by the time the final round on Sunday, we could have rough upwards of 3.5 to 4 inches.
And the rough, it's a different kind of grass, right? It's a rye, did you say?
It's a rye grass. And what it does, we have mowers that actually can allow it to grow straight up. So even when a ball lands in it, it will drop to the bottom. So it even makes it harder for the pros to get the ball out of the rough.
Lovely. So as far as the Honda Classic goes, then the challenge is not only the rough, but also the speed of the greens. And then, as you say, the wind.
Yes, and this year we'll have not only the wind, which is pretty strong in late February or early March, we'll also have to deal with the firmness of the greens, because once you redo greens, it takes about a year for those greens to soften up and really truly be receptive. Now, granted, the PGA Tour players can put spin on the greens and they'll be able to hold the greens more than the average amateur golfer, but they will still have to deal with firm speeds.
So the Honda Classic, last year, Justin Thomas was the winner, a local guy somewhat, English guy who relocated to Jupiter. Talk a little bit about the tournament. I mean, it's been going on for, 11 years, I think? Is it 11 years?
Yes, our first Honda was in 2007. And it's been a great success. Ken Kennerling and his team have done a fabulous job in making it a really tour destination. The things that they do not only for the tournament but for the community. And then during tournament week with fireworks on Friday and Saturday nights, it's a great event for everyone.
And I think it's actually the start of the Florida swing. So, guys want to sign up, plan it, and then, kick off the season here on the East Coast.
Yes, and the nice thing is we do have such a stable of local pros that live in the area now. It really helps put a real major championship field together.
Talk about some of those players.
Well, I mean, right from the beginning with an Ernie Els and Tiger and Rory and Ricky, they're all here. And they all, it's in their backyards. There's no reason they wouldn't play as long as it fits into their schedule.
It was fun to see Tiger on his comeback year in 2018 do so well here at the Honda. And then he eventually won the Tour Championship in August. But just your thoughts on the excitement that, Tiger's comeback brought to this area and his play here last year.
We call it the Tiger effect. If Tiger commits to playing in the Honda, attendance goes up, retail sales goes up, and the whole buzz of the tournament week increases. It just ratchets up the excitement. He's done so much for golf and so much for charity that, he's a great ambassador of the game. And now I just heard that within the next couple of years, he's going to be designing and building a couple golf courses that are family-friendly in Chicago. So that's a true testament to how much he cares about the game.
Yeah, Tiger, I mean, it's just such a great story. And his transformation on and off the course, I think, is also a great story. And it will be fun to see what he does in 2019 and, how if he can win more events, right?
And I think that he will. As long as he stays healthy, I think he still has several more years of top contention in him.
Let's go back in the decades before Tiger and talk about Jack Nicklaus, because Jack Nicklaus actually redesigned this course. It was originally designed by Tom and George Fazio. And then Jack Nicklaus came in 2002, and then again in 2014 with some redesign work.
Yes, the changes that Mr. Nicklaus did in 2002 were pretty dramatic. Specific holes actually changed. For example, originally number four was a par three, and now it's a par four. So there's some major changes that Mr. Nicklaus did, and of course putting the Nicklaus flair on the design as well. And then when we came back in 14, there was a change basically to the green complex on 14. The green was actually moved a little bit closer to the water with an extra tier added. And then over the course of the tournament, we've added some tee boxes and things like that, but it's really, truly a true test of golf for all level golfer.
Yeah, I love the fact that there are actually 5 sets of tees. So, no matter what playing ability you are, you have a good choice.
Yes, and that's a theme that runs throughout all of our golf courses. We are very family-friendly, very junior-oriented. We host a significant number of junior tournaments. So we want to grow the game. We understand that we can't just stay the same and have the same level of golf business. So we always continue to need to improve.
Before we talk about the other courses, because I know there are five championship courses here at PGA National, we have to talk about the Bear Trap. Holes 15, 16, and 17, really touted as the most demanding three-hole stretch in golf, and a tribute to Jack Nicklaus. Talk a little bit about the Bear Trap.
Well, first and foremost, especially during tournament week or even in season, the prevailing wind on 15 and 17 is left to right. So the ball's going to get pushed over towards the water. There's just no denying that fact. And then 16, which is a par 4 that has a very long carry over water to the green, typically plays dead into the wind. So they're three extremely difficult holes. And, you know, the moniker is that the tournament should be won and lost over that three stretch of holes, and it's happened many times.
Well, I just know from my own experience the other day on 15, from the reds, it measured 100 and about 48 yards, and there is a big wind, as you say, left to right, but it was against us, and I used driver. I hate to tell you I used driver, but, you know, I got lucky, and it landed about 12 feet from the hole, and it stayed on the green, which is a miracle when you use, you know, a driver, because that green is not huge, and it slopes pretty severely, right? So, and I ended up parring the hole. I did not make birdie, but I was just happy to stay on the green off the tee.
Yeah, that's a very difficult hole. And, you know, my theory, too, it doesn't matter what club you hit because it doesn't show your club on your scorecard. So that three is a three no matter what.
That's right. And I just didn't want to, you know, the ball to be short and land in the water. But that 15th, that's a par three. For the tournament, it's about, 179 yards. Then you have the par 4, 16th. And then you have another par 3, 17th, which is just phenomenal. But, you know, as Jack Nicklaus said, it's really not about the length. It's about precision.
Absolutely. You know, they have to hit quality golf shots into those three holes to remain either at par or below par.
That's right. So how do you do on the Bear Trap, Jane? What's your best?
Well, I can tell you my worst. One time we played a longest day of golf, and I played 131 holes in a day for charity. And on number 16, I lost 16 golf balls so throughout the course of my round. So it's really for me, you know, I'm not a long hitter, so I just have to hit whatever club is right for me. And 16, I might not make it over on my second shot. It's just a fact of life.
Obviously, depending on the wind and exactly. So let's go to the other courses, because you have the Palmer course, the Fazio course, the Squire course, and the Estates course, which is actually off property. We played the Palmer course, and that was redone in, 2017?
Yes, we did a nice thorough renovation of the Palmer golf course in the summer of 17. We really wanted to pay tribute to Mr. Palmer in that renovation, so we tried to take it back a little bit to the true design that was put out by Mr. Palmer when he designed the golf course initially. Again, we've met that. That's been met with rave reviews. It's kind of our 1A golf course. If the champ is number one, the Palmer's a 1A. That was originally a Palmer design, so that's really something nice to have in our repertoire of courses. The Fazio golf course is a Fazio design. Tom and George Fazio designed it, but then Tommy Fazio redesigned it in, I could have my dates wrong, 14. And so it's the only golf course where three generations of Fazio have worked on the golf course. Very good, straightforward South Florida golf course, nothing tricky about it, but five sets of tees, playable for all level of golfer. Then the last one on property is called the Squire, initially a Fazio design that has not been redesigned. It was actually named the Squire after Gene Sarazen back in the day. And then our estate golf course, which is located about 7 miles west of the main complex, is a Carl Litton design, and that was renovated in 2015. So basically, other than the Squire, all the golf courses have been renovated recently, and I'm venturing a guess that there'll be plans for the Squire in the future.
I enjoyed the Palmer course. I thought it was very difficult, particularly the last hole, the par 5, 18th. That's almost impossible at a par. I have to be so accurate off the tee, and then, your approach shots, you know, there's very little room for error on that par 5, 18th.
Yeah, the second, your approach shot for your second shot is a very narrow landing area with bunkers on the right and out of bounds on the left. And if you hit it too far, it can run through the fairway and end up in the water. So that's a tough hole. And for some reason, 1 and 18, which parallel one another on the same day, quite often both play into the wind. So figure that one out.
Interesting. So a swirling wind, if you tee off early or against the wind on one and then coming back toward the clubhouse, what direction of wind is that if you're playing against the wind?
Coming out of the east.
Wow. So it's tough. It's a swirling wind. You really have to figure out the wind. So do you get a lot of the players who live in this area, do they come and play the Champion Course to practice before the Honda? Or I know they all have their own memberships at their own clubs, but I mean, generally, would they come out and play the course?
We don't see a lot of the pros come and play practice rounds, but the one person that is pretty consistent that comes to play, and he actually comes to play with a group of local police officers that play, and that's Ricky Fowler. He shows a great deal of support for the local PD, and it's just nice to have him go out and play with the guys.
That's awesome. It's always nice to see, you know, some of the pros here supporting. Well, they all are very charitable as it is, but with their schedules. It's nice to see them come out. Plus, it helps him when he comes out here to play. Let's talk about instruction, Jane, because there's, a lot going on here. You got the Ledbetter, you got Pels, you got a lot of things.
Yes, we host the David Ledbetter Golf Academy, the Dave Pels Scoring Game School here on site. And we also have 4 or 5 PGA certified professionals that teach as independent contractors. And then at our estate golf course, we host the Every Ball Counts, or EBC Academy, which is a true training program that focuses on statistics and when to hit the right shot.
Really? Tell me about that.
Well, it's all done in increments and measurements, and they actually have an app that can predict, you know, if someone their scores are a little bit over par based on a 60-yard shot, they know that that's the shot that they need to address. And if they correct that shot, that their scoring average can actually drop. So it's very scientific and very, there's a big algorithm that's been written and everything else. It's quite amazing.
Do you monitor, while you're playing? Is that how you do it, so that all the data comes in about, you know, your game?
Most of it's done on the practice area, and the folks with EBC actually designed a short game area specifically at the estate golf course to accommodate all these different types of shots. And it's really, truly just about going through an assessment, so they can, right from the putting green right on through, and then they dial into where your weaknesses are, and you work on your weaknesses, and then overall you get better.
Interesting. So you don't really have to play 18 holes. You can, they'll know immediately from this data, right on the practice range, what you have to work on the most. I love that.
Yes, and the nice thing, too, is it's applicable to all level golfers. Yes, they work with some tour professionals and some mini tour players, and they do a lot of work with colleges and whatnot, but it can work for any level of golfer.
Now, it's just thinking about the practice range, which we were at the Champion Course range yesterday. Is that short game area? Is that a new area, too?
That was put in for the tour players. Yes, every year we have a meeting with the tour following the event, and we get feedback from the players, and that was an area that was lacking here. So a couple years ago, we put in a brand-new short game area, the 2-level putting and chipping, bunker play. And the one thing we were sorely lacking was fairway bunker. So that's why you see in that complex that there's actually a bunker that they can turn and hit out into the body of the range as a fairway bunker.
Right. So what does the championship, the Honda Classic, mean to this area? I don't know if you have any stats economically or, statistically as far as, what it brings to, we're in Palm Beach Gardens, but the number of fans, spectators who come out, that kind of thing. I mean, it seems like it's very well received every day.
Yes, and the nice thing is it's growing every year. Last year, if I'm correct, we had about 220,000 spectators through the course of the week, up a good 20,000 from the prior year, which was up another 30,000 from the year prior. So it continues to grow. And being really, truly the only event in South Florida right now, it really helps us. But I'm sorry, for the community, it's just amazing, not only the amount of money that's donated to the Nicholas Children's Hospital, but the Honda Classic cares, and that's really, truly one of their taglines, and they give money to tons of charities throughout the community.
And even now, it's early January, you can see the stands going up, and, the preparation for this major PGA Tour event every year. It takes a lot of preparation.
Honda starts dropping their iron, as we say, the first week in December, and they'll be scrambling to get the final build-out done the week of the tournament. But, you know, their events go year-round. This weekend, we're hosting the Honda Junior Classic. So we'll have 200 or 300 kids here this weekend playing on the Champ, on the Palmer, on the Squire, on the Fazio. And then next, on the 19th of January, we host the Honda Classic 5K, where we'll have probably 1,000 runners that will actually run on the Champ cart paths, a 5K event. So the events just are year-round.
So they run on the cart paths of the Champion course? And how many miles?
It's a 5K, so 3.1 miles.
Wow.
And we'll start them at 7:30 in the morning, and we won't miss a tee time off number one.
So there is quite a lot going on. I love that. Anything else that you want to talk about as we head into, only a couple months away, as we head into, you know, this first stop on the Florida swing?
Well, we're just excited. You know, the golf course should be in pristine condition. We did struggle a little bit with the greens last year because they were aging, you know, and we had planned to renovate the greens in 2019, but ownership pushed it up to the summer of 2018, and our maintenance crew was able to just pull off miracles because that golf course was only closed for 90 days, and with a 56-day grow-in period to have the results that we have is just a true tribute to their abilities.
Yeah, that's not a lot of lead time at all.
Not at all. And, of course, we were lucky with the weather. We didn't have any real major storms. But based on the Farmer's Almanac, which should be a decent weather winter for us weather-wise, we're looking forward to a great event.
I love it. And you already have looked, I'm sure, very carefully at that Farmer's Almanac as far as weather goes. I know all directors of golf and agronomists have to do that. So, well, best of luck, Jane. It's so great you've been here for so many years. And I remember the last time you and I spoke, you really spoke a lot about growing the game. And is that still your mission? I mean, do you feel that the game of golf has improved in that area overall? I mean, have you seen an improvement as far as more diversity in the sport and more women and juniors playing?
I think that technology, number one, is a big boost for the sport. And then you look at the facilities like the Drive Shacks and the Top Golfs and things like that, attracting a completely different customer. That's very similar to what the Honda Classic has done with all the fun events and party scene that have been created around the tournament. We see a different spectator base than a normal golf tournament. So I think in general, the sport is trying to become a little more hip, a little more forward thinking. And then you look at someone like a Susie Whaley as the new president of the PGA of America, the first female president in the history of the sport, in the history of the organization. You know, she has a tremendous junior program that she runs up in Connecticut, and I just think that the whole impetus is going to be juniors and doing things a little bit differently.
I think that's great. I know Susie in the wintertime is in this area as well, so she's a neighbor. It's always great. I talked to Susie a couple months ago on my Talking Golf show in New York on WFAN, and it's great to see that she is the president of the PGA of America. And, you know, she's always talking about the team effort and growing the game, and hopefully we'll see that even more so. I think the challenge is, you know, getting these, you know, women players to continue playing because they're juggling a lot in their schedules. You know, they're working, they're raising a family, they're, you know, and again, taking time out for 9 holes or 18 holes seems to be always the challenge. But, you know, they're taking lessons, they enjoy the social aspect of it. Now they have to just continue to play because it's not a game that you can ever master. And you have to get over the initial frustration first, right? How do you make it fun for young people and for women to not only take up the game, but to sustain, to continue playing?
One of our most successful programs, aside from our Women's Golf Association, and our WGA consists of about 250 ladies. So on Thursdays, we have upwards of 200 ladies that play in our WGA events. But we do what's called Girls Giggles and Golf. So for the beginner golfer or the tennis player that maybe wants to try golf, it's a 30-minute clinic with one of our instructors, a few holes of golf on the golf course, and a glass of wine in the bar. And it's packed every week. And that's how we keep them coming back. You've got to have that social event. The social part of it is very, very important.
I love that. I love that. Tell me again, it was called
Girls, Giggles, and Golf.
Sign me up. Well, Jane, thanks so much. Always a pleasure to catch up with you. And we'll see you in March at the Honda Classic.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Sports Interview with Ann LaGoria is brought to you by Dune Jewelry and the new Hamptons Rope Collection. savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or spot in timeless pieces for men and women. Visit DuneJewelry.com. And Sports Interview with Ann LaGoria is brought to you in part by Peak Vision Sunglasses, P-E-A-K, Vision Sunglasses. Zero distortion, unmatched clarity, change your game. PeakVision.com. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann LaGoria. So glad to be joining you from PGA National Spa and Resort. It is so wonderful to be in Palm Beach Gardens and to spend New Year's Eve and New Year's Day right here at PGA National. And joining me is Kathy Casper, the VP of Marketing. Kathy, thanks so much for hosting us. It's just so much fun to be here. Now, we normally come here for the Honda Classic in March, but to experience the resort and everything it has to offer during the New Year's season, the holiday season, it's just spectacular.
Hi, Ann. It's so great to have you here with us during holiday season. And I just love the holidays. So as you can tell by my voice, I'm still in the holidays, even though it's officially after the holidays. But Christmas and New Year's here at PGA National is always a very special time. Between all the activities we have for the families, we have families who have been coming here for over 15 years, and now they're up to four generations of families. So it's great to see, and New Year's Eve this year was probably one of the funnest ever with our Larry Johnson Motown Band and the gala. I mean, it was just so much fun and the place to be this New Year's.
I have to say, just pulling up to PGA National, driving in with Scott and Sky, our golden retriever, and we'll talk about that because the fact that this gorgeous resort welcomes pets is just such a plus. But driving up and seeing all the beautiful decorations, the Christmas trees, and all the beautiful decor, it really continually keeps you in the holiday spirit. You know, Kathy, it was just so beautiful. And unfortunately, now after the holidays, the decorations go down. But it just is so beautifully done.
'Tis the season, Anne, and we're already now starting to think about Valentine's Day. Gift cards at the spa at PGA for Valentine's Day is the perfect gift and the perfect getaway. And then, of course, after that, we have the Honda Classic just around the corner in February. So we're already busy beavers working on those projects.
Before we move forward, let's talk about the New Year's Eve party because the band was phenomenal, Motown all the way. The decor, again, was spectacular, and it was very, very festive. Everybody was just in such great spirits, you know, and the food was really delicious. You guys really know how to throw a party, I must say.
We do throw a great party. In fact, I think the party went on pretty much all night because after the ballroom, a lot of people went into the lobby where they had another ball drop, and we had a great DJ in there. So it certainly was a lot of fun, and we can't wait till our next party.
You guys really know how to throw a party because the Honda Classic Week is a party, right? When you come through the lobby and you see all the music and just all the festivities going on. So now talk a little bit about, you said you have a new VIP experience. I want to hear all about that.
Okay, we're so excited this year for the Honda Classic. We have put together a VIP experience package. So one of the things about going to a PGA tournament, as you know better than anybody, Ann, is getting into the tournament and the resort. Because we're the host hotel, people staying at the hotel on our VIP package will have valet parking included, which means you just get right into the hotel, you valet your car, and you go right out to the chalet. The new package includes chalet passes every single day of the tournament. It also includes the fun 17th hole. Where would we be without the 17th hole? Bear Trap. That's certainly the place to be, the party at during the Honda Classic. And then you can come back to the chalet on 18 and watch all the great players come in, plus your room accommodations, and we even throw in golf on one of our other five courses. So for people looking to come back during the Honda Classic and have a VIP experience, just go to pgaresort.com and click on packages, specials and packages, and all the details are right there. And we're hoping that you and the family come back this year, Anne.
We'll definitely come back. You know, it's so very cool to experience the PGA Tour event. It's the opening event for the Florida Swing with the PGA Tour. And then also have the opportunity to play one of the courses here. Obviously not the Champion Course, because that's where the Honda Classic is being played. But we played on the Palmer Course, and it was spectacular. So talk a little bit about everything that PGA National has to offer.
Well, and there is so much to offer besides golf, but and I will talk about the two-course renovation that we did. We also have a world-class destination spa with 36 treatment rooms and the therapeutic waters of the world. That's what we're known for, the healing waters. So if you've had a rough day at golf, you can go over to the spa and just soak in one of the therapeutic pools. We also have 9 restaurants, including the Ironwood Steakhouse, and, of course, our Sports and Racquet Club. It truly is one of the most cutting-edge, state-of-the-art fitness facilities in the area. Jen Orsi is our director of fitness, and I'll tell you, we have over 90 classes a week, and it is definitely a world-class sports and racquet club. But back to the golf course renovation, we recently renovated 2 of our 5 courses. The Palmer Course, which a Palmer Design oversaw from start to finish, a complete renovation of the Palmer Course. And, I mean, it really is quite spectacular. They lengthened the greens. It's just so many, you know, the water hazards, but just the beautiful foliage and some of the natural fauna and flora that's out there is incredible, not to mention a few gators. So the Palmer Course is spectacular. And then the Champion Course finished. We actually reopened in October of 2018, and we totally redid the greens and all of the grasses back to the original Jack Nicklaus design that he did many years ago. So you have 2 phenomenal courses, plus our other 3 courses, which are also in great shape. So 5 courses to choose from, Ann.
You know, I was talking to Jane Broderick earlier, the director of golf here, about the golf. I mean, there's so many options, which is wonderful, right? But you mentioned the spa, and you talked about the therapeutic pools, the water. And I actually went in before I played golf, and it gets you really relaxed, and it helps you unwind. And I enjoyed kind of using that as a routine to prepare for golf, because you have to get loose and flexible. But talk a little bit more about the spa and everything that the spa has to offer.
Well, the spa has over, as I said, 35 treatment rooms, but we also do, not to mention Valentine's Day coming up, couples massages, but some of our facial treatments are some of the best in the world. Our therapists have been with us for some of them almost 20 years, and they are some of the best in the world. I mean, we all like a good facial, including myself. But our therapists are wonderful. The HydraFacial, which is a great treatment that you can do, and it really just leaves your skin glowing. Definitely recommended before a fancy function or if you just want to look your best. So all of our different treatments, we do the mud treatments, we do the European bath treatments, soaking treatments, plus a full-service salon. So there truly are some therapeutic treatments, as well as a great Swedish massage that you can do by the pool or also in one of our many treatment rooms. And we just recently redid the ladies' locker room with some complete new steam sauna and overall look and feel. So definitely fabulous.
I'll have to check it out before we go. And then, of course, across from the resort is the fitness area. And every time I go in there, there's just countless things to do. I love a good workout. There is a lap pool there. There are tennis courts. I even see there are pickleball courts now, which is the new sport. So, you know, when you come here, I mean, there's so many options. There's something for everyone to do.
One thing I didn't mention, Ann, was our membership. We have over 2,000 memberships, including single memberships, family memberships, and golf memberships, as well as sports and racquet club memberships. A lot of our members live up north and in the cold, but they are snowbirds, so when they come down here, they join our membership. They're part of our membership and can have golf and spa and tennis privileges. We have a great tennis academy with Johan Creek. So, and tennis, we have over 19 courts. Tennis is also, as you know, I mean, it's just a focus here at PGA National that people may not always realize with our Little Mo tournament and some of the golf tournaments we do. We're also really a training ground for young athletes, which, as you know, is so important in both golf and tennis. So I think we really do have it all, Anne, and look forward to welcoming you, all of your listeners.
Honda Classic coming up, the VIP package. I can't think of a better way to escape the cold and come south to Florida and to Palm Beach Gardens. There's a lot to do in this area as well, Kathleen. Thanks again for having me, and best of luck in these next coming months, and I can't wait to see you during the Honda Classic.
We look forward to having you back for the Honda Classic and can't wait. Just one last little note. There's over 65 Zagat-rated restaurants right here on the PGA Corridor. So I hope you have a chance to try one or two as well before you leave. We'll see you soon.
I need to stay like a couple weeks. I think I'll just stay here until the Honda Classic.
Perfect. Glad to have you and the whole family.
Oh, we didn't talk about the fact that you're pet friendly. I mean, Sky is in heaven because you open up the back door and there is plenty of yard and territory to explore for the Golden Retriever. He's having a blast.
Well, I'm officially the dog ambassador of the resort. I think that's my real title. So anytime you bring your dog back, we are thrilled to have him and many others. And being on that, we have the ground floor set as our dog floor, and we have some lovely amenities as well. So welcome and happy 2019.
Happy New Year, Kathy Casper, PGA National. Thanks so much.
Welcome to Sports Interview, and my guest is the legendary Ted Williams. So good to see you, Ted. You look fabulous. We're here in Boston. What a wonderful place for you. All-Star Week, and this must be very, very special for you to come
back. What a wonderful place this is. I tell you, New England people have hit me so strongly and so positively of their warm hearts.
I bet.
And their big hearts.
Must be just such a great feeling to come back.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Hi, Sammy. Where are you? Hi, Sammy.
Almost everything you do, you take it to the next level, particularly, well, obviously hitting, fishing, piloting a jet fighter plane. You took to near perfection. What is the secret to your success?
I honestly believe this, and I've thought about it a lot of times, but I'm probably as lucky a guy as you ever looked at in your life. I can think of 100 different instances in my life that it was a matter of luck that things came out all right.
So you're really going to credit your good fortune, but...
You bet.
Your work ethic
I had a desire to want to excel. If I were in a group, I'm just going to give it to you real fast. If I was in a squadron at Jacksonville, Florida, and we were a gunnery team, I would say I'm going to try to be the best one here.
How about hitting? What made you such a fine hitter, do you think?
Now listen to this, Ann. Practice, 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 and the opportunity to do it. And it's concentrated practice, not just hit the ball. Oh, something happened on that swing, and boy, that registered with me. I didn't think that way at all, and bang, I did it. And I say, well, that's good. Try to think what I did. Do you look inside out? Do you try to hit the ball inside out? Or do you look outside in and try to hit the ball that way? logically, I can tell anybody in 2 seconds, 3, 5 seconds, why that isn't the best. The quickest way to get to two spots is in a straight line. That's the way you want to do it. Bang, right there. It ain't up the big circle route.
Right.
Take you a week to do it. Boop, hit you in the fist.
Dom DiMaggio told me years ago that when he'd come back, you know, from hitting or at the plate, you'd always ask him what the pitcher threw him. And when he couldn't tell you, he told me you called him stupid.
No, I'd always ask him, the guys that hit ahead of me, how fast is he? Because I had to key on his fast bit. You can do things to help yourself on something slower. But if that ball's here and you decide to do something, it's too late.
And you never swung at the first pitch. Very rarely.
Not very often, because why hit at something you haven't even seen? One time you hit at him and he's that fast. Now you're all geared up. Next time you get up and up, boy, and you're late and you've pooped it up and it's one time at bat, you say, geez, he's fast today. Why not try to find out about that before you get up there? Why not take a pitch or two and see his fastball? Now, you don't hit at anything you haven't seen, so you look for his fastball, don't you?
Absolutely.
And he throws a curve. You haven't seen any yet, but he threw a curve. Didn't fool you. Oh, I saw that all the way, but I took it. Instinctively, I wanted to see as much as I could.
I know there were rumors at one point of a trade between you and Joe DiMaggio. Were those legitimate rumors?
Oh, I guess they were. I've never talked to either one of them and said, oh, yeah, we made the deal, but we didn't get it through. But apparently there was something pretty rock hard concrete there.
Now, Joe DiMaggio called you the best hitter he had ever seen.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty high praise for me, because I think DiMaggio was the greatest player I saw. There was only one other player that I thought that I played against was Willie Mays. Mm. Nah, he was in the National League, but I saw a lot of him in different situations. And those two guys are right above on the top together.
You two obviously have such notoriety, and Joe, yet so different in personality.
But I always respected his baseball ability. He could run better, throw better than I could. I liked his quiet attitude.
Was that the best compliment perhaps anybody ever threw in your direction? The one from Joe DiMaggio saying that he thought you were the best hitter.
I'll take it as number one. Yeah, I would take it from him, because he, you know, how much respect I had for his ability. I thought he was the best hitter I'd seen for a long time. And you know, in Boston, we got a young kid that's right coming just right there, Garcia Parra.
Of course.
He's going to be a great hitter.
Have you talked to him?
Yes, I've talked to him.
What's your advice to him?
Well, I give him, when I haven't seen anybody, had my first chance to talk to anybody.
Right.
Why, I'm listening and trying to find out some little thing he'll say that'll trigger me into something else. And I have a group of questions that I ask any young hitter, and I can find out in 2 minutes how much he knows.
What's that? What are some of the questions?
Well, what's an inside-out swing? If you're late hitting the ball, where do you generally hit it? If you're early hitting the ball, are you in front or are you behind? And we kept going round and round and round. And when I got through talking to him, and say 40 minutes, I call my friend. And I said, Garcia Parra knows as much about hitting as I do.
Really?
He explained the inside-out pitch. I said, if you're early on your swing and not waiting, are you more inclined to hit ground balls or fly balls? If you hit the ball the right field, are you more inclined to get it in the air? Well, he knew that because
he
was observant, and he's on the honor roll at Georgia Tech. So, you know, I was dealing with a pretty bright kid, and he couldn't be a nicer boy. He couldn't be more intelligent, and I don't think anybody has better technique than Garcia Parra, unless it was Joe DiMaggio. Because He hath the same look to him as Joe DiMaggio did for me.
What do you mean look?
The way he got everything together to get right there to hit the ball.
The actual technique.
Oh, boy, he had it.
We'll be back with Ted Williams right after this. I'm Ann Ligori. You're watching Sports Interview with my guest, Ted Williams. What a delight it is to have you here. You left baseball twice to go to war, and twice you came back to win more championships. Did you ever regret the 4.5 years that you had to leave baseball?
Well, I wouldn't say I was altogether happy that I didn't have a chance to keep going on. Because both times I left, I was going good, and bang, I'm out again. But the overall picture is that I can't regret them too much, because I think I did the right thing. I know I did the right thing. I was lucky to do the right thing.
What were those years like for you during the war?
Well,
Did you dream about baseball? Did you dream about hitting?
No. But they were very formative years in my life. I got to appreciate things more. I even got a chance to think about baseball, maybe different aspects of it that I hadn't worried about before.
What was it like to have John Glenn as your wingman?
Well, I went in that ready room the first time, 311 in Korea, and I saw two guys standing over there twice the length of these folks here in this room. And they were standing there, and here's two or three new young pilots coming in. And I looked over there and I saw John Glenn. Never met him, never knew anything about him. And he was standing over there with another guy that was a major. And I didn't know who they were, but I looked them both over and I said, boy, they're special. Never knowing it was John Glenn, and the other guy, I still don't know who it is. He was a lieutenant colonel. And all of a sudden, we're in the same squadron, we're flying together, and I got a chance to go with John Glenn a couple of times.
What did you think when he went up in the space shuttle?
Well, I look back now, and his plane was just right there, and I was flying right there, and there wasn't any of this waving around or anything. Boy, he was like glue.
So you knew he was very talented back then.
But the thing I noticed about him as much as anything, that he had leadership written all over him. And carried on for another 35 years.
What did you think when you saw him go back into space? What were your feelings?
Well, I want to tell you, that was an exciting moment that I can think of in my life.
Ted, talk about the most memorable home run you ever hit, because I understand it wasn't an all-star game.
Wasn't an all-star game. It was my first absolutely in heaven moment in baseball for me, because it was two strikes on me. We were two runs behind. It's in the ninth inning, and bang, I hit a home run. Gee.
Good timing.
Oh, boy. And that just lifted me up above the clouds. I was with the very best players, and I had done a pretty good thing.
And you were so ecstatic that you were jumping around the bases.
Oh, I know it. I looked like a jumping jack going around there. And I was, and I saw it on the Movie Tone News the next day.
And what did you think when you saw yourself?
I didn't want to look at it too long. I said, I never do that.
Let me ask you your opinion on Michael Jordan.
I can't put an adjective in there any place that will describe him any more than it's been described. He absolutely was out of this world. Out of this world.
I remember reading where you said that had he really pursued baseball.
That's right. Now
he
you got
could
it.
Have been there, a really good
There's no
player.
Question in my mind that had he played as much baseball as he did basketball, and what I saw of him just trying to do it in baseball, I haven't got a doubt in my mind that he would probably have been a very successful baseball player. He could run good. He was strong, he was fast, he was quick, and intelligent. And I don't think you need a hell of a lot more than that.
We'll be back with Ted Williams and his son, John Henry, right after this. I'm Ann Ligori. Welcome to Sports Interview. My guests, Ted Williams and his son, John Henry, his only son. It's good to see you two together. I think this is the first television interview you've ever done together.
That's right.
Well, I'm delighted to have you both.
Are you nervous?
Yes.
Now, how did he get so good looking, Ted? You didn't tell me he was this cute.
Look, I've had enough trouble with him so far already, and you're not helping too much right now.
He has really done a great job running a lot of different companies that have to do with you. He's president of Hitter.net and TedWilliams.com. The company is called Hitter Communication, and the websites look fabulous. What are the purposes of the sites?
Well, the sites are websites. Mm-hmm. When we saw the internet for the first time, right. Said a great place to put all the information that we get on my dad for the rest of the world
sure.
to see. And we started a very small Ted Williams website way beyond before I even got involved with the internet. And, letters, recommendations, photos, compliments, just a place to put everything, really. And it's really just gotten bigger and bigger, and the internet itself has just gotten a lot bigger.
I know when you played, you didn't necessarily see a lot of John Henry. You guys weren't as close as you are now. Talk about what brought you closer together. Do you think it was the business or what brought you this? You're very close, obviously, now, much more than when you were a
Mm-mm.
player. No?
No, it's an act.
We never had an act, huh?
It's an act.
You pretend to like each other.
Yeah, I never had the opportunity to be with him. I'm a divorced father. His mother wants him over with him, and I want him over here, and it didn't quite get that way. But anyway, I would have to say this. He's independent like his mother, so he was going to do it his way a little bit. But he did only Williams ever graduate from college. So I just thought, well, But as he's going along, I say, if I'd have known he was as smart as he was, he'd have studied tougher courses in college. I didn't want him to be a nervous wreck going to college and do something to get over his head that I knew would make a strain on him.
Sure.
But he did it all right.
So you're proud of him
but
now,
then
obviously.
I couldn't be more proud of him. But he can't hit.
See.
He cannot hit.
My summers went like this. Baseball for the summer, and then I'd get a call. We're going to fishing in Canada. So what do I do? I go fishing in Canada with Ted Williams.
You can't say no to Dad.
Right.
So you mean you couldn't perfect the hitting. You had to go fishing.
There wasn't. It's tough to have a baseball career when fishing is 4 or 5 months out of the year.
John Henry, how tough was it, though, when you were younger, having Ted Williams as your dad? I mean, obviously you played a lot of baseball, and I know you and your mom and your sister lived in Vermont. How tough was it?
I never really thought of it that way. Probably I was 13, 14 years old, really, before I even realized who Ted Williams was. He was just dad. We were at a spring training event in Winter Haven. I came back from a school trip to the Amazon.
Oh.
And we were at a banquet, and Johnny Pesky was introducing me to some players, and some of the really well-known Red Sox players. He said, "Hey, I'd like you to meet, John Henry." And they said, "Hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you." And I was like, "Wow, okay, I got to meet, so-and-so." Well, then Dad sat down next to me, and one of the players was still sitting there, and he said, "Hey, did you meet my son, John Henry?" The guy gets up now and says, "Nice to meet you." And I was like, I just met the guy, and now that he affiliated me with Dad, it was like a bit different story. So I kind of got a sense what it was like then, and I still don't know what it's like, except about 4 years ago, I was playing pool in Cooperstown, New York. A little roly-poly chubby guy, about 14, 15 years old, and he had a little family flag on. So he was related to somebody in Cooperstown. So we played about 2 or 3 games of pool, and I said, you're family related. Who are you related to? And he goes, well, my great-great-grandfather is Babe Ruth.
Wow.
So now I'm standing here playing pool with Babe Ruth's great-great-grandson. I said, it is a pleasure to meet you. And all of a sudden it struck home what it might be like for someone else to meet me. And I blow it off all the time saying, okay, yeah, nice to meet you. But maybe it does mean something because, he's right there.
John Henry, if you could say anything to your dad, that you'd like to say, what would you tell him? You have an opportunity now.
I've said it all.
Really?
Yeah.
He knows how you feel about him.
There's a lot of unique ways that fate happens. You know, 4 years ago, 5 years, 4 years ago, he had a bad stroke, and I moved from Boston to Florida. I've been down there since. If he hadn't had that, who knows where we'd be right now. But we have definitely come closer since then. Wouldn't you think?
I think so.
Ted, anything you want to say to your son?
No, I certainly am proud of him, and I never will underestimate his capabilities. If he gets his mind to it, and he gets his sights on it, and he likes what he's doing, oh, baby, I think he's got unlimited potential.
Don't wait too long.
Thank you so much for both joining me. This is a real pleasure to have you know, both of you on together.
My thanks to Jane Broderick. My thanks to Kathy Casper of PGA National Resort and Spa. Hope you enjoyed my classic interview replay with the great Ted Williams. My thanks to studio engineer Kyle Lynch. Have a wonderful weekend. Happy New Year to you. Be safe, be happy, be kind. I will talk to you next Saturday morning right here on Sports Interview with Ann LaGore.